Good to see everybody because, you know, the weather turned pretty nasty here this morning. So it's hard. We don't want to see anybody get hurt. And I want to give a, where's Jesse the body at? Is he up there? Maybe he's up in the class. You know, Jesse gets up every Sunday morning to check the weather. And if it's raining or, it, you know, like today, it started off rain and it turned to ice and snow. He was out there, and most of the time he's shoveling, but today he was just to get it down, you know, the ice melt and that. So we appreciate the work that he does, and, you know, he goes that extra mile. So he's not here to receive all the accolades, so I will take them on his behalf. Amen. So if anybody's not here, I'll be more than happy to receive the accolades. Whatever they do, I'll take the credit for it.
There you go.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks. We thank you that we can gather in your house here today. And Lord, that as we spent that time in worship, Lord, that now that we sit at your feet, Lord, like Mary, to receive what is really, truly beneficial. Lord, we pray for Pastor John that you'd anoint him, that you'd bless him. And Lord, that he'd bring forth the word that you've laid upon his heart. In the spirit and in power. We ask in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. If you've been around for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. We've seen that every time that God has done something, whatever it's been, in all throughout history, that the Holy Spirit has somehow been involved. Whether it was at the creation of the world, I mean, the Bible shows us he was right there. When God became flesh and dwelt among us, when, you know, at the conception and the birth of Jesus, scriptures point out that the Holy Spirit was right there. The Holy Spirit was there when Jesus was baptized, when he began his ministry, when he was led out into the desert. The Holy Spirit was there at the beginning of the church, empowering the apostles and the saints then, and going out and strengthening and encouraging and causing the church to grow. The Holy Spirit has been there all along at the turning of every heart towards God. Until right today. I mean, he's still here right now doing the same thing. It's the Holy Spirit who has imprinted the new covenant onto our hearts. The one that used to be in tablets of stone that Moses got up on the mountain, well, now God has imprinted them, it says, on our hearts, this new covenant. And it says in 2 Corinthians 3:6, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So we've seen that every important thing that God has ever done, that he's doing, or that he will ever do, will always include the Holy Spirit. Last week we saw that if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. That God has put that deposit in you. That God has, you know, he's poured out his Spirit. Romans 8:9 really just lays it out very clear for anybody who thinks that maybe they don't need the Holy Spirit. Because there are people that think that. But it says in Romans 8:9, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. It's not me. That's God's word that says that. Jesus said in John 3:5, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of both water and the Spirit. John 14:17 tells us that, for he lives with you and he will be in you. So we're told in Ephesians 5:18 that we are to be filled with the Spirit. And the way that those words were written in the Greek, it was written in a present active tense, that means that this filling of the Spirit is supposed to be an ongoing process, a daily, continuous process where we are to be filled over and over and over again. Just like we talked about it last week, just like eating. We never eat once and we're done with it. We have to keep going back to the dinner table. We have to keep getting more food. We have to keep breathing. We don't just take a breath of air and we're done. There's certain ways and things that God has done that he sets in motion, but they have to be constantly refilled. And being filled with the Spirit is part of that. That's our spiritual sustenance. That's how we live spiritually. God knows that his Spirit is essential for us If we are to live for Him, if we are to walk and live and act as a Christian and to live in this world that is as crazy as it is. In fact, the more that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the more exciting, the more joyful, the more peaceful, the more prosperous, the more purposeful our life will be. And I could name another 100 adjectives, because everything that's good about being a Christian is somehow related to the Holy Spirit. Life in the Spirit is the life that our Heavenly Father has designed for His children, for us. And that's why it says in Romans 8:14 that those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. Those who are led by. In other words, if you're not, if the Holy Spirit is not in your life, if you don't recognize the Spirit, because there are people out there who are trying to tell us that sometimes we don't need the Holy Spirit for today. That was something old for way back before the Bible was written. And that once the Bible was in print, we didn't need the Holy Spirit anymore. That's foolishness. It is. The Bible is very, very clear. And if you haven't heard the last 2 weeks, you know that that's true. I mean, it's in there. You can go on the website on there too and hear that. Or you can buy the CDs right upstairs. We know that every good gift that our Heavenly Father has for us, He pours them down out of heaven. That's where all the good things we have, they're all good things that come from our Father. And what better gift could God possibly give us than the Holy Spirit, so that we could be filled with power and be able to walk out the Christian life that God Himself has called us to. See, it's God who has designed this world. It's God who created us. It's God who called us into His family, and He wants us to live a certain way. He wants us to be His witness into this world, and He knows that in the flesh, that ain't going to happen. So He says, all right, I'm going to fill you with my Spirit. I'm going to live in you so that now you can be my hands, my feet, my voice into this world, that you can show me off to the world. And so that's why we know that the Holy Spirit is here for us now. And Jesus made it very clear that we can get this, that the Holy Spirit will be there for us. That He will come to us, that God will bring Him to us. In Luke 11:9 through 13, it says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children," he's talking about in the flesh, if a fleshly father, a human, purely human father, isn't going to feed his little baby scorpions or snakes. He's going to give him the good gifts. So he says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" So we need to ask. Fill us, Lord. Fill us up. Always. Just keep asking. Every day we get up, "Lord, fill me up. Fill me up again with your Holy Spirit." When we're praying, when we're doing whatever we're doing, God, we start to read, "Fill me up with your Holy Spirit." So what I want to do today is take a look at God's Word, so we can find some of the different ways that the Holy Spirit can communicate to us. See, the Holy Spirit is not content to just sit off on the sidelines and never have any part in our life. He wants to be in our life. He really does. It's God. It's God wants to be in our life. We're His family. There's something called the unity of the Spirit. Make every effort to join the unity of the Spirit. I mean, we're supposed to be united with Christ. Jesus said, Father, that they might be one as we are one. This is what God wants. So this is what the Holy Spirit wants. He wants to constantly bring us back in. Because we have a tendency as people, as flesh and bone, to wander, don't we, from the faith? We wander from everything. You start a diet, you wander, right? You come up with a plan for something that you're going to start doing. We sort of wander from that plan. We take a little break here. You know, it's time to go to work and our mind wanders. We start to do this and we have a tendency to just sort of slip away from that straight and narrow path. Well, the same thing can happen in our Christian walk. That's why the Holy Spirit always, you know, wants to be there for us so He can fill us up and He can keep us on that path. He gives us the power to walk on that path. So that's why I want to look today at how does He communicate with us to help us to stay on the straight and narrow, to help us stay walking with God. You know, in our world, the world that we live in, especially in this country, there is a whole industry built around communication. We all know that. You can get a college degree in communications. Imagine that. Yeah, I mean, think about that. It almost sounds funny when you think about it just on the surface that I have to get a college degree so I can learn how to communicate to somebody. But that's because there are so many different ways. In marriage counseling, one of the first steps is always to restore communication, to be able to talk to one another as human beings and with love, as God would have us talk. There are so many different companies out there, so many different products, and I'm sure we all know that every one of those companies that are trying to bring out their product, they're all trying to get the attention of as many people as possible, whether it's through newspaper articles or advertisements or announcements or infomercials or commercials. But when the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you, I don't think He begins by a now a word from our sponsor. But guess what? In a way, that's almost sort of true, because He does bring us a word from our sponsor. The Holy Spirit speaks through God's word. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says that the Bible is God-breathed. You know what that means in the Greek? It literally means that God breathed out. He breathed out Himself, His life, into His word. That the Bible is inspired by God. Inspiration. God's inspired it. He filled it with His life. His breath came out. Just like when man was created in the garden, and Adam and Eve, He breathed life into them. Well, God breathed out. The Bible is God breathed. He put His life into this word so that we could take this word into our life. This precious word that we have has truly been inspired by God, by the Holy Spirit here on this earth. It was the Holy Spirit who worked in every one of the Bible's authors to put those breathed out words, to help them put God's life, His breath, into words, to write it out. I mean, who else could put together 66 books written over centuries and centuries into a completely coherent package, all pointing to Jesus Christ in so many different ways from beginning to end, pointing to the Savior in the future, pointing back to the Savior and everything about Him? Somehow all these books, they're so cohesive. They all come together. Everything in this Bible that we have, the Word of God, has been confirmed over and over again by archaeological finds, by historical discoveries. People constantly try to discredit the Bible, but every time, even when something comes out and they say, aha, we found something that disproves the Bible. You know what? It always comes back later on that it didn't. They end up finding the truth out, and the truth is that it's proven once again because it's God's Word. It's God Himself. You can't ever prove God a liar. Because God is true. Though every man be a liar, God is true. And these guys that are out there trying to disprove the Word, they are the liars. To even begin with that presumption, I'm going to disprove God. Who do they think they are? So the Word of God has been confirmed over and over and over. And the reason that it was this is able to happen is because it was God, through the Holy Spirit, who put the Word together. This Word has been confirmed by numerous prophecies all throughout Scriptures. It's a book that has changed history. It's changed nations. And it's changed millions of people's lives. And it will continue to do that. Nobody can stop it. You can't burn all the Bibles and think it's going to be gone. You can't put the fire out because it's a living, breathing thing. It says the Word of God is living and breathing and active. It's the breath of God. It's the life of God. It's the inspiration of God. It's God showing His people who He is through the Holy Spirit, bringing it out. Even if heaven and earth were to pass away, God's Word will live forever. Nobody but God, working through the Holy Spirit, could pull off something like this. I mean, who could do it? Who else could do that? Who could put together something that took centuries to come together? Who lives that long? Who could start something from beginning to end? Who could have all those facts at their fingertips? Who could bring all those people together? Who could prophesy into the future? Who could write a word that could change people's lives? Who could do that but God? Nobody. The Apostle Paul was one of the Bible's authors. We all know the Apostle Paul. Many books in the New Testament were written because they were the letters that Paul wrote to the different churches. And these letters were inspired by the Word of God. And here's what Paul had to say. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak. And you could just as easily say, this is what we wrote, because the words that he spoke, he ended up writing. So this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. So that's what Paul is saying, is that he was led by the Holy Spirit to speak and to write down these words, these truths that came not out of his mind, not out of his studying, but from God. These are the very words that we're reading right here. These scriptures that I read, that scripture right there, even explaining that it came from the Holy Spirit, telling where it came from, it was the Holy Spirit that wrote that scripture. All throughout God's Word, there are prophecies spoken by men. They literally spoke the words, but those words didn't come out of here. They came from God, and they were spoken through the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:21 says, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. How much plainer can we get than that? Prophecy never had its origin in the will of man. A true prophecy never came from something that some man designed or decided to speak. But men spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. It just came out as God put it inside of them, and they spoke it. That's the way God works. This is how He works. His Word is so important to Him that the way He has it, He had it written out, the way that He caused this Word to come together, the Bible to come together, was this, it's the same as if He had written it by His own hand. That's how authentic it is. That's how real it is. That's how inspired it is. 1 Corinthians 2:11 says this, "For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him?" Now listen to this part. "In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." See, it's the Holy Spirit that knew what God wanted to say and put those into these men's minds and caused them then to write that out. No one else could even come close to doing this. Absolutely not. Who could have known God's story except God? I mean, which one of us, and we're only however old we are, imagine who else could write your story from the time you were born until now? Who could write it all out and know it as well as you? Unless maybe you're just a very young child. But say you're in your, already up in your 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever. Who could write all the little details of your life, your thoughts, the things that happened to you, the way you felt? Who could write that? Who could possibly know that? Nobody. We can't even express ourselves sometimes. Haven't you come to that conclusion? Sometimes, you know, you're trying to get something. I just can't get it out. I don't know how to express it. Well, God did. He expressed Himself. Scripture is God-breathed. It's His life coming out onto paper, done by the Holy Spirit. Some people have a problem with the infallibility of the Word. They think that, they'll say things like, "It was just written by a bunch of men." I want you to see how foolish this is. Because this will be the world's comment. When they hear that you think that the Word of God is true, that you can trust the Word of God, they'll say, "I mean, it's just a story. It's just a bunch of fables. It's just analogies. It's just written by a bunch of men." Well, I'm telling you today, it wasn't written by just a bunch of men. It was written by men who were carried along by the Spirit of God. Men who almost had no way, no control over, you know, what they were writing. I mean, yes, they could have stopped the Spirit. They could have, you know, rebelled against God, but these were men that God used that didn't. Instead, they did what God wanted them to do. And every book of the Bible's been confirmed. It all proves each other book. God has worked it out from beginning to end. The book, the Word of God, the Bible is infallible. It wasn't just a bunch of men who wrote some stuff down. The reason they don't believe that is because they don't know. They don't know about, they don't understand, they don't believe in the Holy Spirit. They don't believe that God actually can be here on this earth. They don't believe, if they even believe in God, they don't believe that God could actually work through somebody and cause somebody to do something. They just can't fathom that because They don't know God. There's a veil over their eyes. They have not received the Spirit of God. And so they can't comprehend it. But God has done an amazing thing for us because He has given us His Word. And we have this precious, precious Word that we can open, we can read, and this Word comes alive. It's God's life that comes out of it. The Word of God is living and active. It judges the thoughts and the intents of our heart. It comes into us alive and begins to speak to us and separate and say, this is right, that's not right, this is the way you should do this. That's the Holy Spirit operating through the Word. As far as God speaking to us, nothing supersedes, nothing is better, nothing is more certain, more sure than the Word of God. Nothing. That is what we always go back to. That is our checker. That's our safe zone. That's what we're, you know, where we always determine if it's true. It has to match up to the Word. No matter what we hear, no matter what we think we hear, no matter what we're told, no matter what we read, it has to line up with the Word of God. Nothing is more important for us on this earth, you know, because that we have, that we can take hold of and grab hold of than the Word, because it's the Word that shows us what God is doing. It's the Word that explains to us God, and Word that helps us understand the Holy Spirit. It's the Word that gives us our information. It's how we can live because we know through the Word. And then the Holy Spirit is the one who wrote that Word, and then the Holy Spirit is the one who now uses this Word to communicate to us. So when we read the Word, we should say, Holy Spirit, you know, help me. God, help me through your Spirit. Give me insight. Give me direction. Give me, lead me, show me, teach me. Teach me your ways. And that's what God will do, again, through the Holy Spirit, through the Word. That's why the Holy Spirit was so involved in the writing of the Word, because it's so important, and it's still the greatest work that is here on this earth that we will ever be able to grab hold of and have at our disposal. Just it's right there for us. John 14:26, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, Jesus speaking, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Well, what are these things that he's going to remind us? These are the things that he's going to remind us are the things that we've read from the Word. We read the words out of the Bible, and then the Holy Spirit brings them back. Sometimes we just hear them. I might be speaking today. I read this scripture to you. Tomorrow, you don't remember this scripture, maybe. You don't think about it. And then somewhere down the road, the Holy Spirit needs you to know that scripture, and it just comes out. And you think, where in the heck did that come from? And you have no idea, maybe, but God says, you don't remember, but that scripture was read to you one time. Maybe when you were just in Sunday school, when you were a child. Maybe you read it when you were studying it. I can't remember everything I read. I don't remember every scripture I speak out here on Sunday morning. But you know what? They come back to me all the time. As needed. As needed. Whenever we get something from the Holy Spirit, this is where we go to check it out. Back to the Word. We may sometimes we need a hand from someone. Hey, where's that in the Word? You know, could you tell me where that is? Because sometimes maybe somebody doesn't know where to find something. Maybe, you know, I mean, I get calls. I know Pastor Don gets calls. I know some of you might ask somebody, or somebody might ask you, you know, do you know where that is in the Word? And there's all kinds of ways to find it. I can't remember where every scripture is, but I'll find it. I can find any scripture if I, you know, give me a little bit of time. That's our safe zone, as I said. When we think we hear from God, when we think the Holy Spirit's been speaking to us and we want to double check it, we always go back to the Word. Even when we're fighting temptation, when we're fighting temptation from this flesh, or maybe it's from the devil himself, where do we turn? The Word. The Holy Spirit working together with that Word will become and is our greatest weapon. In Ephesians 6:17, it tells us this. It says that the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, it's a weapon. The Word is a weapon that will help us to fight those things that are against the Word. The temptations that come to us from the devil, from our flesh, from the world. You remember it was Jesus was out in the desert. You remember it said he was filled with the Spirit and he was led by the Spirit out into the desert. So this was a time of him figuring out, and basically this was like on-the-job training where he was going to be, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now remember, he already had the Holy Spirit, but now he was like, got this supernatural infusion. Remember, he was baptized, and then the Holy Spirit came down, and the Holy Spirit said, you know, you hear, and then you hear God saying, this is my Son, and whom I am well pleased. And then it says, and he was filled and led by the Spirit out into the desert. And then what happens? The devil comes and starts to tempt him. And what does he use? He uses the Word, the sword of the Spirit. Another way the Holy Spirit that can the Holy Spirit can communicate to us is through worship. Sometimes when we take our focus off of everything else and we put our focus on God and we begin to worship Him, whether it's in music or just plain just worshiping God. Sometimes after a song we just worship Him, or we might just speak, or we might be singing still. You know, and maybe in addition to the worship, maybe we've even added something like fasting or doing something for God. Acts 13:2 says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I've called them. So see, the Holy Spirit used Barnabas and Saul to get out there and to do an amazing work. And if you know the whole story, at first they weren't really that accepted. But the Holy Spirit came in there. I know the ladies have been talking about this, and set things in motion. He really used Barnabas to open up the door for Paul. And the next thing you know, the Holy Spirit's telling the leaders there at that time, "Okay, I want you to send Paul out there and send Barnabas with him." I mean, in that particular verse right there, that's what it's talking. It's about the leaders in the church, and they were probably having a prayer meeting and praying, and then all of a sudden, there's God speaks to them and says, in worship and that, and God speaks to them and says, send him, send Paul, send Barnabas. So the Holy Spirit helped them to make a corporate decision, something good for the sake of the church, not only that particular church, but for the church and for all time. Because think about it. Paul would have been rejected on his own, but Barnabas, the son of encouragement, got him accepted. And then because of that, they accepted him, because of course the help of the Holy Spirit. And then Paul was able to go out and start ministering and witnessing. And then he ends up bringing, you know, Christ to the Gentiles. And then because of that, he ends up having to, because they messed up like we do, he has to end up writing all these letters to them, trying to get them back on track. And who's helping him to write these letters? The Holy Spirit. And because of that, we have the Bible. Wow. Does God ever have an intricate plan? Where we would never have done all these things. We would never have figured them out. But God can. And sometimes in us, right here, we might be worshiping and God just might speak a word of comfort. He might tell you that, you know, he's doing something inside of you. He might just give you some love and just let you know how much he loves you. He might encourage you. You've been struggling. He might bring conviction on you and bring it to the place where you ask for forgiveness, or, you know, repentance. I mean, all different kind of ways God can touch us. And he does that through his Holy Spirit, and a lot of times he'll do that in worship. Another way the Holy Spirit, another area that he can use, and we could say maybe that he could enlighten, is our conscience. Paul is speaking in Romans 9:1, and he says, I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience confirms it in the Holy Spirit. So, it's not that we can just always trust our conscience, because we can't. It's just like trying to trust our heart. What does it say about our heart? Our hearts are deceitful above all things. You know, I mean, we can't just automatically trust our conscience and say, okay, I know in my conscience, I feel that's right, so I know I'm doing the right thing. No. I know in my heart, I've heard so many people say, well, God knows my heart. Yeah, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and they're telling you all this stuff, and you know it's all wrong, it's all against God's word, but then they say, but God knows my heart. He knows I really love him, even though I'm just walking and living in blatant sin, but God knows my heart. So everything's okay. I don't really feel bad in my conscience, so everything's okay. No, that's not true. But God can use your conscience. He can use your conscience to stir you and to start thinking like, man, you know, this just isn't right. And the Holy Spirit's like, you know, enlightening your conscience or motivating you to come to that point where you say, you know what, I got to deal with this. I'm wrong here. I know I'm wrong. God, I need some help. You know, and our conscience, by the way, can be more and more useful as we become more and more sensitive to God's word, more knowledgeable about his word, more sensitive to, and as we begin to tune ourselves more into God, God will be able to use our conscience. That's just one way that he can get through to us. I mean, it's, you know, spirit speaks to spirit, he can use our emotions, he can use our mind, he can use our heart, he can use our thoughts, he can use all kinds of ways. Joel 2:28 shows us some other areas. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. There it is again, the Holy Spirit. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. So God's word is telling us that the Holy Spirit can communicate to us through prophecy, through dreams, and through visions. Sometimes these communications might be warnings. Sometimes they're encouragements. Sometimes they're affirmations. Sometimes they're rebukes. There's no specific way. We've had people many times come to us with dreams or visions that they've had, and when we hear these, oftentimes these people that bring us the dream or the vision have no idea what it is, and we hear it and we think, oh my gosh, I can't believe what we just heard, because it fits exactly with what's going on, and God caused them to have this dream and them then to come to us and tell us, and it was something that we may have been dealing with here in the church, and then we hear this dream and the dream is a direct reference to that situation. That's happened so many times, you wouldn't believe. It's just amazing. Prophecies. How many times have we heard prophecies? You know, how many times, maybe through somebody, you know, that brings a prophecy. And look, maybe Ed Trout's here, and we hear this word from God, and we hear it, and we go, man, is God ever reading my mail? And we just say, I know God. I mean, other people may not realize how God is speaking to you, but when you hear that word, you say, I know God's real. I know he just heard that. And it might be somebody right here in our own church. We have many people in our own church that have a prophetic gifting. And God will bring that out, and sometimes they'll come up and they'll speak to you. We've had people share things with us. I mean, God can you, and sometimes it's not even somebody who you would think, you know, has a prophetic gifting, and yet that person, God just uses them. There was one time they were talking about in the Old Testament where Saul, if you remember Saul, one of the original leaders in Israel, and it said somebody was saying, yes, Saul was with the company of prophets, and he's prophesying now. What's going on? You know, he's not a prophet, but he was. You look in the Old Testament where the Holy Spirit wasn't poured out on all people, but he was constantly poured out on individuals that God wanted to use, and especially the prophets. In fact, we all know the story, I'm sure. We've heard it many times. People say he can even use a donkey. He can. He can use anybody. The Holy Spirit can speak through a donkey. Maybe there's a political overtone to that. I don't know. But remember, it's these dreams, these visions, these prophecies, they're from God. And they still, if it's from God, they will never contradict His Word. They'll never contradict the biblical principles of the Word. They'll never go against God's order. God is a God of order, whether it's in the church or in the home, even in the government. God is a God of order. And He doesn't, you know, give us a prophecy that just flies in the face of what we know to be right, to the point where you go, wow, I never expected God to tell me to do that. I'm supposed to go shoot this guy. I'm supposed to go steal this thing. I'm supposed to go do that. I mean, that's not the way God's going to speak to you. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Spirit of Peace. And one of the ways that God, again, can communicate to us is when we're in the midst of a situation and we feel that God has enlightened us in some way through His Spirit, maybe showing us something in the Word, then this peace comes over us, this amazing peace in the midst of a disaster, a peace that transcends all understanding. And we feel this peace that just comes on us, and then we recognize that God is here. God's involved in this because I shouldn't be at peace right now. But this is telling me, the Holy Spirit is telling me that don't worry, God's got this under control. So He communicates through peace. Just another way that He can communicate. If you notice, as I'm saying all these things, I'm trying to be very careful about the different ways that the Holy Spirit communicates. And there's a reason why I'm doing that, because the move of the Holy Spirit is ripe for counterfeit. That's why I constantly say you got to get back to the Word. That's why, you know, a lot, if you listen to everything I said, I'm very careful in the way I'm saying it, because the devil is a counterfeiter. And he loves to do nothing more than to take the things that God is doing and counterfeit it. And the devil, not only the devil, but even our own flesh can counterfeit the work of the Holy Spirit. And there can be others that can come in, people that are looking for attention, people that are just, you know, plain ridiculous or foolish. And, you know, they just want power, or they want notoriety, they want fame, or they just want to have influence into your life. And so they're going to try to use prophecy or phony prophecy to get a hold of you. So we got to be careful in all these situations. That's why the Word is so important. That's why God, through His Holy Spirit, made sure that He communicated first and foremost through His Word. Sometimes the Holy Spirit won't even bother to communicate with you. He'll just plain put words in your mouth. And you'll find yourself speaking things you didn't even know you knew, or you didn't know about. Maybe you didn't know them. In Mark 13:11, it says, whenever you are arrested or brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it's not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Now, that was in court, it's talking about. And these were people who were arrested because they were following Christ. They were speaking about the name of Jesus Christ. These were not people who were accused of carriage hijacking or chariot hijacking or, you know, stealing in the marketplace or something like that. So don't expect God to give you this amazing word when you're standing before a judge because of drunk driving, you know, or something like that. But there are times when you very well may find the Holy Spirit speaking through you when you might be just going to pray for somebody. And then all of a sudden you begin to share, and out of your mouth comes this amazing testimony, this amazing words of encouragement, this salvation message that you didn't know was in you. Because it wasn't. It was the Holy Spirit just speaking through you. It might happen during preaching. Sometimes, I know it's happened to me, and it's happened to many people, it happens all the time, where you get done and you say, yeah, I didn't even expect to say that, and that was the best part. Because it wasn't us. It was God speaking. So, in a situation like that, when the Spirit of God is speaking through you, and you find yourself talking to somebody, and all this stuff is coming out, you know what? Just enjoy it. Be that vessel. Let God use you and just basically sit back and let it come out. And be happy that God's using you. And then there's other times where the Holy Spirit will put the thought in your mind. And He'll tell you what to say. In Luke 12:12, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. So sometimes He just puts those words in your mouth and basically He's saying, oh, this is what I want you to say. And all of a sudden in your mind, you're starting to hear these ideas and thoughts, and it's starting to gather and collect, and you realize, like, wow, I'm supposed to go tell them something. I don't want to do it, but I'm supposed to say it. I don't want to say this word, but I'm supposed to say it. I don't want to go up and tell that person this thing, but I really, your heart start pounding, and you might be, as some in the scripture that say, I was compelled by the Spirit. You know, sometimes we just feel this overwhelming. Our heart's beating and we feel like, I got to do it. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will send you somewhere or to someone, and He just sends you there to go there, and then we just wait for further instructions. You never know how He's going to use you. In Acts 8:29, the Spirit said to Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. Just go there and hang out, or go run by him. So then Philip runs up to the chariot, and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And so he just says, well, hey, do you know what you're reading? I mean, Philip knew it. And the guy says, how can I know what I'm reading unless someone explains it to me? And then Philip says, oh, that's why I'm here. I got it. God wants to use me to explain to him. So he invited Philip to come up into the chariot with him. They're driving along. He's explaining it. All of a sudden, they come across some water. And a short time later, Philip is baptizing this Ethiopian eunuch in the water. And then it says that they come out of the water, and all of a sudden it says, then the Spirit caused Philip to be gone. And the eunuch looked around, and he was nowhere to be found. He wasn't just hiding behind a rock. He didn't go up under the water and breathe through a reed. He was gone. I mean, we're talking about a real miracle here. David Copperfield, eat your heart out kind of miracle, you know? So the Holy Spirit can communicate to us through prayer. Romans 8:26 says, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, and it carries this sort of on, it says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. But my mind then is unfruitful. I don't know what I'm praying. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I've found many times that when I'm praying, I'll be praying in English with my mind, and then God compels me to start praying in the spirit. So I'll start praying in tongues. And then I go back to English again, and then all of a sudden I'm praying something totally different, something that wasn't on my mind at all, something that the Holy Spirit put on my mind. And I know that God was working in that, because then someone will come up to me in that meeting and say, you know what, that's the exact same thing that God just told me to pray, or that's exactly what, you know, I was thinking about, or that's what we needed to hear. And you say, see, I didn't know that. But God did it, and it wasn't until I prayed in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit somehow directed me, that began to come out. So, Are you beginning to see a pattern here in the way the Holy Spirit works? And this is the pattern. There is no pattern. That is the pattern. The Holy Spirit works the way He wants to work. John 3:8 says, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You will hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." I mean, yes, there are some things that we can determine the way the Holy Spirit works, but we can't put them in a box. We can't, you know, always expect that God's going to speak to us this way. He's going to tell us this here. He's going to do that there. We just have to trust that, you know, that God is real and that God cares about us, that God loves us, and that God will find a way to speak to us. So we have our part to do, which is to be filled with the Spirit. And then we can be confident of this. And I'm closing now, and that is that God is here for us in His Holy Spirit. And He's here for us, and He's going to help us. And He's going to find some way, when He needs to, He's going to find some way to communicate to us. Because we are God's precious children. God loves us. We're His children. He loves us more than a natural parent loves their children, because His love is so amazing and so great and so perfect. And so here's this Father that loves us with an everlasting love, an unconditional, this love that was willing to die for us, and He wants us to know that He's going to communicate with us. We need to know that, just as we would communicate to our own child when they needed to hear from us. If you knew that your child was in desperate trouble and you could help them out just by sharing a word with them, by communicating help to them, wouldn't you do it? Of course you would. And that's how God is. He is desperate to help you. He wants to help you. He wants to work in your life. He wants to help you walk that path, to live that life as a Christian. He wants you to be able to love one another, to be able to love Him, to be able to do the right thing. And so at those times when we're most in need, the Holy Spirit will find some way to communicate to us, because our Daddy wants us to know what to do. And He wants to let us know that He's there for us, that He'll love us, that He'll never leave us, He'll never forsake us. So we got to get to that place by being continually filled, where so that when we are in the midst of all those issues, we can hear God speak to us. So let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You so much for Your Holy Spirit. We thank You that You communicate to us in so many different ways, but preeminently, Lord God, through Your Word. Lord, I pray that we would just get to know You in that Word that You breathed out for us, that Word that You inspired to be written, that Your Holy Spirit was so intimately involved in getting to us. Lord, help us to know you intimately, to understand You as best as we can, help us to always be ready to hear from You in whatever way that You want to communicate to us, Lord God. Lord, help our ears to be open. I think of that scripture that says, let your ears be open to hear what the Spirit says to the church. Lord, help us to hear. Open up our ears. Fill us up, Lord God. Fill us up with Your Spirit so that we might know Your will at any given time. Lord, fill us up even right now. Lord, Your Word says that we are to ask. Lord, we ask You right now to fill us up with Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen.